Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Glad you tuned in today, and a very happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. So here's my question for you today. Do you struggle with chronic pain or fatigue? Are you anxious more often than you care to admit? Do you wish you could shed a few pounds or eat healthier, just enjoy overall better health? Well, if that's you and the answer is yes to any of those questions, you came to the right place today. We're talking to today nationally known physician Dr. Rita Hancock about her book, The Eden Diet. You can eat treats, enjoy your food, and lose weight. I don't want to waste another minute, so let me tell you about her and we'll get this conversation started. Dr. Rita Hancock is a Christian physician with Ivy League nutrition training and studies of obesity psychology. She draws upon her faith and her personal success over overcoming childhood onset obesity to help those in bondage to food, eating, and dieting to lose weight and keep it off permanently. She lives in Oklahoma City with her husband and her children. Dr. Rita, welcome. Thanks for joining us again today.
Hi, Susie. It's my pleasure. I'm always happy to join you.
Yeah, we love having you on the show. So as you know, we like to start talking about Scripture, and you chose this time Psalm 51:6. Yet you desired faithfulness. Even in the womb, you taught me wisdom in that secret place. I love that verse. Talk about why that verse is so special to you.
Well, when I was a kid, you mentioned that I was obese. I was obese. I weighed 207 pounds by the time I was 17, and I'm only about 5 feet tall. Usually I was double what the other kids weighed. So definitely I had a problem with childhood onset obesity. And it wasn't until later in life, after I was able to lose the weight and kind of look at why I was eating so much in the first place, that I realized I was eating to quench my anxiety. By the grace of God, I've never had to be on medicine for it, but food was my medicine. And so one of the ways that I was able to overcome that temptation to eat, eat, eat when I was nervous was to look at why I was anxious in the first place. And it turned out I believed lies about my identity, about myself, about my purpose. And believing those lies is what created the anxiety, and then I would try to quench that with food. So truth in my inmost places and my innermost being is what actually cured me of my compulsion to eat.
Mm. And that is where most lies go to hide, is the innermost being. And I feel like that enemy will embed those lies there to the point where we don't even notice them, but we act and live out of them and even sin out of those places without even realizing it. Wouldn't you say that's right?
Oh, that's absolutely the truth. And I think sometimes the lies are based on such obvious or things that are so obvious to other people that those things aren't true. But it makes us so vulnerable to even think about them that we stuff them down. And we stuff them down so deeply that we don't even recognize them at the conscious level. But we react. We react. We overreact to things. Things that bother us too much. When we have an inkling that maybe something bothered us more than it should have, then a lot of times there's a deep-down belief that we've suppressed, you know, a lie like, it's my fault, I'm stupid, I'm bad, nobody loves me, I'm shameful, I'm worthless, all those things, I'm ugly, I'm unwanted, God doesn't love me, nobody loves me. You know, all those kinds of things, they're too painful to think about, so we bury them, or we blame other people. I can't tell you, Susie, how many of my patients blame their jobs for the bulk of the stress in their lives. You know, and maybe there's some truth to that, but it makes you less vulnerable to hate your boss than to look at things in your own life.
Mm, so
right?
Good. Absolutely. And if you missed Friday's show, you've got to listen to the podcast. We unpacked Kyle Idleman's book, God's at War, and he says idolatry isn't an issue, it is the issue. And he basically, in a nutshell, is saying, ask the why question, but why, but why, but why? Because you have legitimate reasons for worry and angst for the most part, but you get underneath it. It exposes some kind of idol you're bowing down to where you're giving it more power than you are God. And he does talk food, sex, entertainment, money, greed, success, all those things. And we are in this fast-paced culture that really thrives on an unrealistic perfectionism. And how much of that unrealistic perfectionism based on these airbrushed models and media plays into this whole issue with food?
Oh, it's amazing. In fact, I think I really would like to read this guy's book.
Oh, you will love it. Oh,
right. You know, at the end of each chapter of my other book, Radical Well-Being, I pose questions. you know, ask God questions. Lord, could it be a lie that I believe about myself? Is it someone that I need to forgive from childhood? Is it a sin that I'm trying to run from that's causing the anxiety leading me to eat? So I love the fact that he talks about asking questions. I do that also. And then if you want to talk idolatry, I call these things false comforters because they're things that we reflexively reach for when we feel all those emotions that we can't stand, but they don't really comfort you. In many cases, they just get you into worse trouble. So if you want to call it idolatry, I wouldn't disagree with that at all. I think he and I are talking about the same thing using different language.
Mm-hmm.
It's gigantic, but the food issue really fundamentally is not very different from alcohol, drugs, sex, overworking, you know, porn, whatever it is that you think is going to, you know, help you feel the way you want to feel. You know, once I talked to an eating disorder specialist, I interviewed her for my newsletter, and she said something that just really, you know, right, I felt it right between the eyes. She said, it isn't the food that people want when they have eating disorders. It's how the food makes them feel. They crave the feeling.
Mm.
And whether, you know, you get that feeling through food, which is the subject of my book, The Eden Diet, or if you get it through any of the other things that I call false comfort, it's all the same. We're just looking for something, and really only God fills that place. I know it sounds trite, but he fills it with truth. And when you have truth, when you have light, it chases out the darkness.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we compare ourselves to an unrealistic picture of a woman, basically, I'm speaking for women. We know we have a lot of male listeners, and we all have our own reactions. But we react to that. We're reacting to a lie. And I just remember even, you know, as a young gal, seeing other gymnasts who were maybe more toned. I was a small person. I'm 5'2". I was 4 feet something back then. I look at my pictures, and I'm like, I was a small person, but I didn't see myself the way I saw them. And so in reaction, I would not eat. I'd skip whole meals, and then I would have a big old salad the size of my front yard. And I know I messed up my metabolism, and I want you to say a word about that, because I want two parts of this question. One, you talk about our bodies actually know better even than our emotions do, to listen to our signals of our body. But two, eating and not eating in reaction to trying to get a result really can mess with our metabolism more than can help it. So let's start with that one and then talk about listening to our signals.
Well, I don't believe that any, you know, fluctuation in your metabolism is permanent, because really your metabolism, you know, each different person is going to have a different metabolism. Yes, there are some people who have faster metabolisms, and, you know, Christian or not, we hate those people.
Yeah.
Kidding. No, I wish I could eat like a linebacker and get away with it, I promise. But even within that, as an individual, even if your metabolism slowed down a little bit because of all the fluctuations and going into starvation mode, you can still boost it by having more lean body mass, and you get that through exercise.
Yeah.
So you do have control. It's not completely a done deal as far as the metabolism goes. But
my point is that it doesn't help you to skip 2-3 meals and then have a big meal. That messes with you, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's better to tune into your inborn hunger signals, and God put them in there for a reason. Now, if we ignore them and we suppress them and we override them by eating according to a schedule or eating according to points or whatever external system we've developed to feed our hunger, then, you know, you can still get back to your physical signals. It might take you a few months. When I was 207 pounds and I started losing weight, I wasn't hungry for about 2 months. You know, I felt my first hunger pang when I was down to about 160, and I was like, what's that? You know, and then I tried to ignore it at first because I was a kid. I didn't know any better, and I would try to eat those filler things, you know, like rice cakes and styrofoam or, you know, whatever, you know, that I could eat that would fill me up, but it didn't fill me up emotionally, and then I would end up binging. So for a while after I lost the weight, I was erratic, just like you're talking about, under-eating, then over-eating, then under-eating, and that did mess up my metabolism for a while. But fast forward to when I was 20, I was in college, I read a book that really helped me. That was the very beginning of the hunger fullness way of thinking, meaning instead of eating according to a schedule, follow your hunger signals. That helped me a lot, and I found that, you know, I did not gain weight when I let go of control and just followed my body. In a way, it's like submitting to God indirectly, you know, submitting to God in you. God gave you the hunger signals. So instead of over-intellectualizing how you should eat, one, you know, when you should eat, what time you should eat, how much, you know, planning it intellectually, letting go of all that hyper control that we do because we feel anxious. We want to control something, right? So you reach to control the food. Letting go of all that, like a baby letting go of the pacifier, right? And just wait till you're hungry. So you're physically hungry and then eat a little. And then wait till you're hungry again and eat some more. You know, it's so simple. Think about it, Susie. When God designed how he wanted things to be, ideally, yes, you know, he wanted us to eat from the tree of life, not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But he gave us everything we needed. If we'd only eaten from the tree of life, you know, we weren't supposed to spend 40 hours a week thinking about the next meal, planning it out. What portion should I eat? Was I bad this morning? Did I overeat? Is this a bad day or a good day? All this is a distraction. It's a waste of our mental energy. We're supposed to be in relationship with God and other people, yet we get sidetracked into overthinking how we should eat. I don't think God wanted us to do that.
No.
I think he just gave us food. He gave us hunger signals, gave us thirst signals. We're supposed to spend our time in relationship upward as opposed to obsessing about what we eat.
Hmm. Good word. I'm talking today to Dr. Rita Hancock about her book, The Eden Diet. You can eat treats, enjoy your food, and lose weight. We've got three copies to give away. Maybe you've got a question about diet, exercise, health, overall health management, and give us a call. And you can be anonymous if you like, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Have three copies of The Eden Diet to give away. And so on Facebook, I asked this question, I mean, literally 40 minutes ago, I would say, and I said, what about food, diets, and weight loss is most challenging to you? And right away, I had 20 posts. And here are some of the answers. Giving up the foods I love for better health. Danita says, all of it. Maria says, yes. Kelly says, other people's ideas. Sandy says, eating healthy is hard. Linda says, the challenge of being a stress eater. Tammy says, sugar. Kathy says, exercise and cutting back on the carbs. And Edie says, chocolate snowballs with condensed milk. And the list goes on. But are these fairly common to what you hear from most folks?
This is reality.
Yeah.
That's the reality of what it's like to be a woman in this culture. You know, we don't make our own bread every day. We don't hunt berries, or we don't go out and pick berries. Our men don't go out and, well, some of them hunt, but, you know, mostly they do it for fun. You know, it's a lot easier to get food today. I came back from the grocery store just literally a few minutes ago. I was putting groceries away when it was time for the show. And, you know, I couldn't believe all the stuff that was there. It was so easy, apart from it being expensive, so easy to get any kind of junk you wanted, in addition to the healthy food. That's the world we live in now. It's all around us. You have to make peace with it. And instead of, you know, putting all this food up on a pedestal like an idol and saying, no, I can't have that. Oh, my gosh, I can't have French fries. If I have one French fry, it's a bad day. I've been bad. And then you blow it for the whole day and you pig out and everything else. You can't do that. You have to learn how to live in the world with this, quote, unquote, junk food.
Mm.
And I think you need to eat your enemy sometimes, you know. Sometimes that's how you get rid of your enemy. You eat it. I go to his boss. Jesus is Lord over me.
You're going down, that's buddy.
That's right. You're going down. Instead of all or nothing, feeling like the French fries have control over you, that's abnormal, okay? Mm. You need to have this relationship with food to where you realize, okay, you know what, French fries, I can eat you if I'm physically hungry, but I'm not going to eat you if I'm emotionally hungry, and I'm not going to eat you just for taste.
Mm.
When I do eat you when I'm physically hungry, I'm going to have a half portion because I am in control. Jesus is Lord over me, and I am Lord over you, comma, French fries.
Mm.
Now, that's how it should work.
And I'm telling you what, you hear yourself talk like that, it will change things for you, and you'd really declare out loud, Jesus is Lord over me. And you're going to serve me. I'm not serving you. I mean, there were times when I was fasting where I would just bring out scripture. No temptation has seized me. I mean, there's something that's so powerful in putting that flag in the ground. Maybe you've got a question for Dr. Rita today. We're talking about health, exercise. And as you hear this conversation unfold, you really understand that what she's saying is doable for anybody. And you start to listen to your body signals. Your weight will regulate and you'll learn to have food serve you where you're not serving food. Give us a call if you've got a question. 877-933-2484. We've got an anonymous caller from Eden Prairie. Welcome. You're on with Dr. Rita. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Do you have a question?
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
We're great.
Awesome. I was wondering, what do you do in the case of, like, I have always been challenged with my weight. So I've always had to kind of stay on top of it because I'm not a very big person. I'm only about 5'2", and I'm very active, but it's a challenge. I know I have to personally stick with a higher protein, low starch, really healthier diet to maintain my weight. And I can easily, as a matter of fact, around my wedding a few months ago, I just wanted to enjoy whatever I wanted. And I did, and I gained weight, and it's so frustrating. But I want to cook and things for my husband, and we love having meals together, but we're not often hungry at the same time. So what do you recommend for that?
Gosh, that sounds like my life. There are four people in our family, and if three of us are hungry at the same time around a mealtime, that's like a miracle. It's really rare that we all eat together, usually on weekends. And I think personally for me, what works in my life is I've given up the fantasy of, you know, Donna Reed and the guy who played June and Ward Cleaver, you know, the Leave It to Beaver, perfect ideal world where the family always eats together. That just doesn't happen in my world. And so if I make myself sit down to eat when I'm not hungry, I tend to overeat. So we're pretty relaxed around our house. I make food. There's always something in the fridge for the family to eat, but we kind of just eat when we're hungry, and that works for us. Mm. But as far as eating what you want and gaining weight, I guess I would have to say I'm all for eating things that you enjoy, obviously within reason. But I think the main thing that could help you is the apple test. That's one of the main things I talk about in the Eden Diet. In fact, there's more about it on theedendiet.com. But let's say you want to eat a donut, and you let yourself eat what you wanted. You're on vacation or whatever after your wedding, and there's a donut sitting there on the table calling your name. Well, you have to ask yourself, would I eat an apple right now? So imagine that donut on a plate next to a shiny, perfect red apple. At that moment, if you wouldn't eat the apple, if you would eat only the donut, then you're not actually physically hungry. You just want the donut, maybe for taste or because it's free or whatever. So what I'm saying is not eat whatever you enjoy. I'm saying, number one, first and foremost, are you physically hungry, or is there something else that's triggering you to want to eat that donut? Often it's just the sight or the smell. That's why, you know, in the Bible, it talks about guarding your senses. You have to be careful. I mean, Satan will get you through your vision, through your hearing, through your sense of smell, and tempt you. So you have to grab hold of that. I'm not saying don't use self-discipline. You know that you have to. It goes without saying. Would you eat an apple? If you aren't hungry enough to eat the apple, you don't get the donut. And then the apple test is also a springboard for asking the questions, like Susie was talking about with the other guest. Ask questions. Lord, what is it that's making me want that donut right now? Do I feel anxious? Do I feel angry? Do I feel depressed? Is there something else that will help me? Lord, will you give me a word so I don't want to eat that donut anymore? And then what you could do is wrap the donut up and save it for later when you are physically hungry enough to eat the apple. Give yourself half the donut.
You know, and the reason this is so important is when we are emotionally triggered, to me, this is an opportunity to have more of the kingdom to inherit. When he says, come unto me, you know, he is the well, he is the answer. And so we turn to, if it's not food, it's alcohol, it's Facebook, it's whatever, but we medicate when really here is an opportunity to participate in the divine nature of Christ with our needs. And this is why this is so important to identify, because we either are medicating in short-term captivity here, or we can go to Christ and be free. And I think that's just so important. Thanks for that call. Got Ramona on hold from St. Paul, and she's been waiting patiently to talk to you, Dr. Rita. Ramona, welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. My question is about the people that are on these, that have metabolism problems, and they need to some very special diets. And I know several of these people, and they do end up kind of putting a lot of effort into that, and lots of effort. And I'm wondering if your book addresses any of those situations, like the gluten-free diet, lactose intolerant people.
That's me. I'm gluten, dairy, and soy intolerant. But I know some people are doing it in a trendy way, which I don't quite understand how that helps. But maybe I'll speak to that.
Right. Well, you know, I think that even though everything is allowable, it isn't necessarily wise to go ahead and consume it. If you're allergic to something, Or if you're lactose intolerant or if you're gluten sensitive, then obviously you want to stay away from those foods. If you are gluten sensitive, you probably really like a book that I read not too long ago. It was called Wheat Belly. It was written by a cardiologist. He makes some pretty big claims about how the genetic alteration of the wheat that we consume today has led to it being more, you could call it allergenic, I guess, if you want.
Wow.
But, you know, now he's really pretty fair in how he handles that data. He says, this is just a hypothesis. I don't have any proof. But look at all this supporting evidence. So I don't necessarily think he's right about everything he wrote in the book. I think his hypotheses are well supported, but they're just hypotheses. And so, you know, the point is, though, there are people who are truly gluten sensitive. There are people who cannot drink milk. Okay, there's just absolutely no doubt about that. There are people who are diabetic. There are people who have high blood pressure who shouldn't eat too much salt. I mean, there are obvious exceptions to the eat whatever you like rule. I think the most important thing is to take the concept of eating only when you're physically hungry and then modify it so that you're eating foods that are right for your body.
Good word. Taking questions about diet, exercise, even from a biblical standpoint. You know, Jesus wants you free. And I love Dr. Rita's perspective here. We can listen to our God-given body signals, and our bodies will regulate. Maybe you've got a question. 877-933-2484. Kathy's calling in from Blaine, Minnesota. Kathy, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. I did have a question, but actually a couple things were answered with your last caller.
Sure.
Okay, I'm in my early 60s, and I put on about 10 pounds in the last probably 8 months. And I know exactly how I piled it on because I hadn't had any weight problems, and I was at the same weight for several years. And then I just really got totally bored in the evening, and there was some issue going on. I just really ate, not even being hungry, you know, and gluten from the TV and blah, blah, blah. But, okay, so I'd like to take off a few of those pounds. And what I'm wondering is, okay, when you mention if you're really not physically hungry, I mean, you know, you really, should you really not be eating? I mean, even say it's, you know, you're used to eating three times a day. So say if you're not really hungry, I mean, at that particular time, like maybe in the morning, should you still eat something? I mean, that's probably a really stupid question. I mean,
no,
I
no stupid questions.
Yeah, it's a great question. Okay, here's the deal. There's this database called the National Weight Control Registry. They took people who have lost substantial amounts of weight. I think the people in the registry, and there are thousands of them in there, lost an average of about 70 pounds and kept it off for years. And did you just hear a beep?
Yeah, do you have call waiting?
Yeah, you know what? I'm sorry. I do.
They'll just have to wait.
Well, anyway, the bottom line is many of those people who had lost a substantial amount of weight eat breakfast. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you should eat breakfast? Well, I think it does, but it also means you ought to be hungry in the morning. And so if you're eating a lot, you may not be hungry in the morning. So if you cut back on what you eat, then you'd be more likely to be hungry in the morning. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not hungry in the morning, odds are high that you probably are eating too much. So cut back on the amount that you eat, the portion sizes or the frequency. Wait till you're physically hungry. Maybe if you go to bed a teensy bit hungry or just have a couple crackers before you go to bed, just enough so your hunger doesn't keep you awake, in the morning you'll be hungry and then you should eat. Okay, I personally find that when I'm going through periods of time where I gain a couple pounds, I'll think back, I'll go, have I been hungry much this week? And then lo and behold, I figure out, no, you know what, I've been eating. I haven't even really been hungry. I've just been eating because of mealtime. I have to fix food for my family. Sure enough, I'll have gained 2 pounds. So I have to continually pull myself back to, you know, my self-disciplined ways of waiting till I'm hungry. I promise it never ends, you know, especially for somebody like me who grew up obese. I mean, this is my area of weakness, you know.
Well, you're keeping it on a short leash now, and I think
trying.
I think
yes,
that's just
right.
Great wisdom. Kathy,
yeah.
Thank you for that. We just got about a minute before break, so I'm going to tee up this question, and you maybe can start to answer it. You might have to carry it through on the other side. This caller asks, what might be the reason for someone to lose their appetite for an extended period of time? Do you have a short answer for that, or do you want to try to take that on the other side?
Might have to take that on the other side.
Okay. And we've got another one. We've got a listener email. I've been having email issues. This listener came through our website, myfaithradio.com. Go to the Live the Promise page, and you can email me directly that way. That's probably the best way to get a question in on the air. And Alex, I got your email here through the website, and I'm going to read that as well. So we are talking to Dr. Rita Hancock about her book, The Eden Diet. You can eat treats, enjoy your food, and lose weight. We welcome your calls. We've got lots of posts on Facebook. This is a hot topic because, you know what? Obesity, overeating, health issues are in epidemic proportions. And so you're not alone if you're struggling in this way. But the call today is to be free. God invites you to freedom and to wholeness and to health. That's what we're hoping to encourage you with today. Give us a call if you want. Our break's just a short, quick minute, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, you can come through the website, myfaithradio.com. More with Dr. Rita in just a moment. Was made the way God made you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our friend Dr. Rita Hancock about her book, The Eden Diet. You can eat treats, enjoy your food, and lose weight. And she says diet mentalities actually make us fat. We've had just a ton of calls, and we're welcoming you to call in. You can call anonymously, talking diets, health from a biblical standpoint. And Dr. Rita's got great wisdom to share. So any question is a smart question. So don't be afraid to ask, all right? 877-933-2484. So Abby's calling in, I believe, from Jordan. Is that Minnesota? Abby, welcome.
Thank you. My question for Dr. Rita is, what is your opinion of the Maker's Diet, and or if you're familiar with the Maker's Diet and with the genetically modified food, what are your thoughts?
Abby, why don't you do the listeners a favor and summarize the Maker's Diet for them?
Yeah, a little bit, and I've read bits and pieces of it, but eating raw food, real food for healing, no pork, you know, pork is not included in that diet, mm-hmm. grass-fed beef. He goes all the way from food to essential oils. It's a whole program, and I was just wondering, curious in your opinion, a lot of it's based on Weston Price, who is a dentist, mm-hmm. discovered the health benefits of raw milk from grass-fed cows.
Okay. Well, my philosophy in general is that there is no one diet that's right for everybody. And, you know, even in the Bible, what you ate was basically, in the New Testament, it was a debatable subject. You know, how much, in the Old Testament, there is talk about, you know, drain the blood from the pig and blah, 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 whatever. But in the New Testament, when they're talking about whether or not you should eat meat that's been offered to idols, it was called a debatable subject, I believe. I forgot the exact words. So the idea is if you think it's wrong to eat meat that's been offered to idols, then don't eat it. But if you think it's okay, you can eat it, except don't eat it in front of the guys that think it isn't okay. That's me paraphrasing God's word. And so I think when it comes to what, you know, is there a perfect Christian diet, I would have to say the answer is no. Now, I have a very dear friend who got a word from God that she had cancer. She didn't get that from the doctors, but God told her, and she believed it, and I believe her because she's a very godly woman. And he gave her specific instructions to eat raw food and no meat and so forth for a period of time, and she believed she was healed. And I believe she was healed, too, because she has a pretty good line with God, and if she says so, I believe her. So I believe that that's exactly what she needed at that time, and it worked, and now she's back to eating normal food, and she doesn't have a weight problem. This is purely a remedy, in her case. Food was medicine for her. But then take somebody like me who grew up morbidly obese and food became an issue and I had an eating disorder. I was a compulsive eater. Or one of my old roommates from college who had an eating disorder, or a friend of mine from high school who had an eating disorder. We're on the other end of the spectrum from my friend. In her case, food isn't an issue. You know, she eats when she's hungry. She doesn't eat too much. She generally eats healthy, but she'll eat treats. She doesn't think about it, right? But in my case, I have to struggle to not think about it, and that's why, you know, the fix for me wouldn't be the same as the fix for you. So I think it just really depends on the individual person's needs. Just like, you know, God meets you where you are, I think with diet, he'll give you the diet that's right for you.
And our bodies are so different, and our needs are so different, right?
Right, and they're different at different times of
exactly.
life, too.
Mm. So. Great question. Thanks so much.
Love it.
So the question that was asked before the break, this person called in and said, what might be the reason for someone to lose their appetite for an extended period of time?
Right. Well, the first thing I think about there is depression. One of the symptoms of depression is losing interest in things that previously interested you. Also, you know, cigarette smoke, of course. If you can't taste the food because you can't smell, then you're going to lose your appetite. But depression is the one that's most concerning to me. And so I would have to say that if that person has any thoughts of hurting his or herself or anyone else, obviously that's an emergency, needs to go in. But most likely this person may have some degree of depression, and that should be treated medically, I believe. And on top of the medical treatment, then he or she might be interested in my book, Radical Well-Being, because I address emotional things, lies that we believe about ourselves that can contribute to depression. Mm. But even that's not a substitute for medical care.
Mm.
So,
you know, I heard on Focus on the Family, I don't remember the physician's name, but he said our brains are plastic. That was the term he used, but he said if you go too long not treating depression, that there's something that solidifies in your brain that can almost be irreversible, and how important it is for early intervention. And would you agree with that?
I agree that the brains are very plastic. We call it neuroplasticity. And I strongly believe that the thoughts that you ruminate on or meditate on definitely get bigger. They become physical. There's a doctor, he's not a Christian, but he's brilliant. His name is Andrew Newberg, and he wrote a book called How God Changes Your Brain. And, you know, he embraces all religions, which I don't, but basically he's saying what you think about becomes physical. Literally, changes happen in your brain, and that's why I think you have to be really careful what you think about. Now, I'm not necessarily convinced about the solidifying, because I do osteopathic manipulation. It's a physical, hands-on thing that I do when people have pain. And, you know, I had a guy who had a knee problem for 57 years, and I unlocked his knee, okay, with just one little maneuver. So I believe the human body has tremendous capacity for healing, and even beyond that, God can do even better than that. So I wouldn't say that, you know, even a person who suffered with depression for years isn't helpable. I believe with God, all things are possible.
Amen. I so agree with you.
I have time for one more question, because that call that I got earlier was something I need to attend to. I'm sorry.
That's all right. So I want to make sure we get Alex's question.
Okay.
She says, love listening to the show. She says, I have a question about healthy eating and weight loss. I'm 22 years old, have always been pretty skinny. Recently, though, I've begun to gain weight, 12 to 15 pounds, and I find it very frustrating. I try to eat healthy, work out at least twice a week. I even had my thyroid tested, and it came back fine. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, I had a friend of a friend, let's say, who was convinced there was something wrong with her because she had gained weight. And when I tried to bring up the subject of portion sizes and are you eating when you aren't actually hungry, she got very resistant. I didn't, you know, butt in. She asked me, but then she didn't like the answer. But then some months later, I ran into her again, and she told me that I was right. She had been eating more than she realized. She just wasn't paying attention. You know, sometimes when you're cooking, you might taste the food 50 times, or, you know, just every time you walk past the M&M bowls, grab a few without thinking about how that adds up. So I would say if you're actually waiting till you're physically hungry to eat, if you wait until you would eat the apple, like I talk about on theedendiet.com, and you're eating small portions, especially if it's a rich food, and you're exercising, if you're doing all those things, then I would have the thyroid checked. And apart from that, I mean, you know, I weigh a few more pounds now than I did several years ago, and it's because I'm 48 now. And I think my metabolism is a little different, even though I exercise. And so sometimes you just have to become okay with having a few extra pounds. God doesn't tell us we have to be skinny. I'm sure he wants us to be healthy for us, not for him. But, you know, I think society standards aren't necessarily natural for our bodies.
Well, before we hang up, this is such good stuff. If I could just ask you one more thing. You talk about self-judgment and its impact on our lives. I know that that is an issue, especially when you deal with eating. As you say, you can spend the rest of your day self-loathing, which leads to worse choices because of the defeating mindset. So how does a person stop that, you know, right now?
Well, take every thought captive. You know, it's easy to say that. What does that actually mean in real life? Well, it's not that easy. I mean, it's a process, right? And that's why I wrote Radical Well-Being, because I give people dialogue. I give people language to ask God in prayer and things to think about. And the feedback I've gotten is that it's a very pithy book. It's not one you can whiz through. You really have to study your way through it. And incidentally, Susie, before we go, I'd love to invite all of your listeners, whoever wants to join us, to our Facebook groups. Okay, now we don't have people comment until they've read my books, because otherwise they might ask questions that are just really basic information and answered in the books. But people can come observe. They can ask to join. Now, as far as getting there, I think what I'll do is, if you want, I can email your producer the links, and if you guys want to put them up, anybody can join our group. No spamming, so no diet products and all that are, you know, in the discussion. But they can come join us, and I'm on the Facebook groups frequently. I answer a lot of questions there, and I think your listeners will get a lot more information that way, because a lot more questions are going to come up.
Yeah, and what's the name of the Facebook page?
Well, it's kind of long.
Okay, so we'll send that. We'll put the link up, and our listeners can go to our webpage.
That sounds
very good.
I'll email them right now as soon as we get done.
Okay, well, we sure appreciate the time, Dr. Rita, and we thank you for joining us. God bless you, hon.
God bless you, too. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. So we had to lose Dr. Rita here a little bit early, but I want to take your calls still. If you've got questions or comments about what your health diet journey has been like, if you've got questions about exercise, give me a call, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. I had a question from Lisa, and I'm going to just read it. It says, how do you reconcile the idea of just accept who I am, how I look, with knowing that God does have a better plan for our lives and that our bodies belong to him? And by knowing, I really mean the guilt of knowing. I'm a couple years out from cancer treatment and feel like my body is messed up. But when I think of trying to accept how I look now, rather than different after mastectomy, skin, hair issues, weight gain, I struggle a lot because I know in my heart that God healed me and has a better plan where I'm stuck now, physically, mentally, and spiritually. He's got a better plan than where she's stuck now. Boy, that's a great question, and I'm so glad, Lisa, that you're still with us. And, you know, I know for me, I've not been through cancer, but, you know, I've been through battling a disease before, and even major surgeries where I've had to come back, and so I've lost all the ground that I've gained in health and exercise, and I feel like I'm starting back over again. And just to give you context, in those early years as a young mom, I did take a shower once a week. That's all I had the energy and strength for, because I had three little boys, and I literally had to recover from that. So I was just a sight to behold. You can just imagine how wonderful it was for my husband to come home from work, see me in the same ponytail every single day. So I know what it's like to face a new mountain going, I've climbed this mountain 100 times, and here I am again. But I think it goes back to reining in your mind and your thoughts and seeing yourself through Christ's eyes. And that is not a cliche at all. It really is a supernatural dynamic where you know that we carry this treasure in these earthen vessels so that we know that the power is of God and not of us. And so, you know, the flip side of that is putting too much confidence in how we look and how well we pull off that external presentation. And there are seasons and times where it all seems to line up, where you're eating the right way, you're exercising the right way, and you just feel like you're in your sweet spot. But those of us who struggled with health, those are short-lived times. We can do it for a while, and then we have a setback. And so we got to be about something that's a little bit deeper than how we look. And those, again, who have their health and can rest on that, I mean, to me, in some ways, it's a false security, because health can change like that. Life can change like that. And so can we be about something deeper? So what I'm saying to you is, send your roots down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love and say, Lord, I want to be a world changer. So change in me. Let me see, first of all, let me see myself the way you see me. And you know how he sees you, Lisa, is you're treasured. You're beloved. You're called. You're chosen. He's got a plan for you. He loves you. And you're not going to be stuck in this place forever. And so I would say, Lord, help me to know what the next thing is that I should do. What's the next thing I should do in my diet, in my exercise, and in my rest? What's the next thing I should do in my spiritual life? And do that next thing. And if you do that next thing today, you'll get where you need to go tomorrow. And so I think if we just really bring it back to this intimate walk with the Lord, but we are physical beings and we're spiritual beings. So we've got to put some time into both of those things. And so to steward that. And scripture talks about a life without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. And this is something, just because we're in such a wealthy country, just because we can eat something doesn't mean we should. Just because we watch something doesn't mean we should. And so when you think about that passage, a life without discipline is like a city with broken down walls. I just want you to think about that, whether you're healthy or not. We need to practice saying no to ourselves on a regular basis and make ourselves deal with it. And so here's what I mean about that. So in the biblical times, a city that was surrounded by a wall, the wall was its fortification. And so the kings, the wise kings anyway, when they were in a time where there was no war, they would send some of their workers out to inspect the walls. So the king would say, go out and look for vulnerabilities in the wall. And so when they would find these broken down places, he would say, okay, let's use our resources and build that back up. That's our fortification. So if you think of a city, it's a fortification with this wall around it, and the walls are broken down. Think about that. That's your vulnerability. So if you are a life where you indulge just because you can, you eat what you want, you watch what you want, you say what you want, and you rarely say no and make yourself deal with it, then you are vulnerable, even if you don't feel vulnerable. So what I'm saying is, when you're driving home from the grocery store and you want to put your hand in the bag of chips, say no once in a while. I'm not talking about being legalistic. I'm saying about practicing the act and the art of discipline. Say no to yourself and make yourself deal with it. I've mentioned this before, but when my kids were young, I would make them partially fast regularly because I would see that a toy, a movie, or whatever would get so important to them. I would say, you know, that's looking really important to you. And so I'm going to take it away, not as a punishment, but I want you to know nothing should have the power over you other than God. And so I'm going to take this thing away to show you that God is so much bigger in you than this toy has on you. And they would throw a little hissy fit, and they would whine, and they would cry, and they would pout. And I wouldn't move. I'm just like, nope, it's going to be gone. And again, it's not punishment. I'm just training you up to show you how big God is in you. And it would just be a matter of time. Then they would settle down, they'd get over it, and they'd forget about it. And then I'd reintroduce this toy, this movie, this whatever. And it was always so amazing, is it never had the hold on them the second time around that it did the first time. But it always inspired this new gratitude, though, too. It's like this old toy suddenly felt new, and they were grateful for it. And so I just sort of did that on kind of a regular basis whenever I would notice them kind of accommodating and serving something that should be serving them. And so it was so interesting because when the kids were a little bit older, I think my middle son Luke was in later high school, and I'm writing an article for Focus on the Family, and I'm sitting there just plugging away, and my computer froze up, and he was just a tech head. And so he comes in, I'm like, Luke, perfect. I'm glad you're home. Can you fix this computer for me? I got to get this article in. And he so sweetly says, oh, Mom, I wish I could help you. But he said, I realized computer was just getting too important to me. So I've been fasting for a month. And he goes, I can help you on Wednesday, though. I love that so much because he decided himself, I'm going to impose this fast on myself. Please hear me. This is not about legalism. This is about saying no to yourself and making yourself deal with it. Because if you can say no in the little things, you can pull out that no when it actually really matters. And so she talks about in her book some temptation fighting tools. And so I want to just talk about those. So let's just talk about this. And if we've got probably, I don't know, 5 minutes left to take your calls. I would love to talk with you. Maybe you found a way to manage this thing, or maybe you just got a question about it. I'm not Dr. Rita, but I have a little bit of background in this, so I think I could help you out. Or an exercise question. We've got resources off our Faith Radio shelf that we can also offer to give away. And I think I actually have a couple books of mine, Balance That Works When Life Doesn't, on my desk as well. So on your mark, get set. Call 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. So one of the ways she says that we can fight temptation is to control our thought life. And is it 1 Corinthians 10:13? It says, "No temptation has seized you except for what is common to man. For God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But when you are tempted, he'll provide a way out so you can stand up under it." Memorize that verse. That is a sword in your hand. No temptation has seized you. So when the temptation comes, instead of giving into it and really weakening your flesh, step back and draw your sword and say, "You know what? No temptation has seized me except for it's common to everybody else, and God will make a way." And just by saying that, when your ears hear your mouth say that, you will find a way out. And you'll put that thing under your feet, and guess what? Your spirit will be strengthened in the battle. And so it is just so important to be able to fight these battles so that we, as Rita was even saying, that this thing is not something we serve, but it serves us, so that you're in control of when you eat. Another way to control your thought life is the self-condemnation that comes when you have blown it. I'm telling you what, that perpetuates more of these mistakes. So when you blow it and you eat more than you wish, it's a meal. It's a dessert. It's not the week. It's not even the day. It's the moment. So let's say you ate the whole pie instead of a piece. Okay. Probably shouldn't have done that. Do not let your brain go to self-condemnation, self-loathing. But you know what you really can do and should do? Get on your bike. I know I'm a biker girl, so that's my thing. But or walk, or get on the treadmill, or get swimming. But budget time, as you budget for a vacation, budget time to go work it out. Work it off. Work out for an hour and get your heart rate up. And then do it again the next day and balance it out. And your body will barely notice it, all right? And our producer says, pie, this is totally beside the point. You're missing my point. All right. I think we have a call. Are we able to put that in? Is that ready? Kathy's calling in from Wisconsin. Kathy, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Hey, do you have a question today?
Well, I had a question. I really would like to lose weight, and I also am in my 50s, and I have osteoarthritis in both of my knees, and so it's very painful to exercise, but I do try to walk, but I also have a really tough schedule, and I get up at 5:30, and I go to work, and sometimes I don't get home till 6:30, and kind of hard.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, here's a couple things that I would just suggest. First of all, in the morning when you get up, I would put my hands, if I were you, on my knees and say, "Thank you by faith, God, that you make all things new." Honestly, I would speak life to those knees because he does and can make all things new. I don't get how and when and why he heals, but he does heal. And so to err on the side of faith, Lord, I just want to thank you by faith for these knees. Thank you by faith that you make all things new. Diet-wise, I would say, you know, like Rita says, not even to have a diet mentality, but a way of life, sort of, especially for you with these joint issues. I would have probably 5 meals a day, smaller portions, include more protein, a little bit less carbs. But I'm not talking like the Atkins diet, so to speak, but really where if you get deli meat, you know, or eggs, or chicken breast, things where you can get protein, even protein shakes. You can buy protein mix from a Target or a Walmart and mix some juice in, or if you can drink milk, whatever, in a blender with some fruit and make a great protein shake. But if you can up your protein intake, bring down a little bit of the carb intake, and even do a little bit of stretching, I think you, and drink a lot of water. Just those few things, I think, would make a very, very big difference for you. And I do pray God gives you some brand new knees.
Thank you so much. That's very helpful.
Yeah. God bless you, sister. Thanks for calling. Okay. So one of the temptation fighting tools, she says, is control your thought life. So as I was saying, rein in those condemning thoughts, but also memorize scripture so you can draw your sword. Another thing that she says is don't weigh yourself very often. I would 100% agree with that, because our weight, especially as women, it will fluctuate and goes all over the place. And it's truly like looking at something that's going to change to the left, to the right. And if you're living in reaction to that little number that's vacillating, you know, by 5-6 pounds, it'll make you crazy, and it makes you too number focused. So I would just really, really focus on your choices and how you're feeling, but truly carry yourself as someone who's healthy, called, loved, accepted, a person in process. And just as your body is in process, your spirit and your character are in process. I mean, don't you just marvel that God uses you today knowing you're going to blow it tomorrow? I mean, that is amazing to me. So internally, we are people in process. So why can't we be people in process with our bodies? Things happen. Crises happen. Sickness happens. And it throws us out of whack. And our airbrush society has put way too much emphasis on this perfect look. But it's something is so beautiful about someone who's comfortable in their own skin and the frame God has given them. Do the best with what he's given you, but understand seasons of life happen. You don't always look your best, feel your best, but offer it up to him in praise and try so hard. Guard your thoughts, you know, draw that sword. Guard your thoughts, draw the sword, and then don't weigh yourself very often. And then she also says, beat sin by doing the opposite. So if you do that apple test and you go, you know what, I'm really not hungry. I'm feeling like medicating because I'm so mad because my boss was mean, or I'm mad because my neighbor snapped at me, or I'm, you know, anxious because I think someone's mad at me. Whatever your thing is, do the opposite. Exercise, pray, worship, but just beat sin by doing the opposite. I absolutely love that advice. And then she says, think about exercise the way a child does, where make it fun. Make it something that you actually really like. And there are a lot of things that you can do. Maybe there's a few things you can do that you'd actually really enjoy. But some people are wired to just enjoy exercise. I know I'm one of those people, but we're all created to move. So there is something that you can do that you'll find enjoyable because your body is wired to move. And it takes energy to make energy. And I will tell you 90% of the time, you're not going to feel like exercising, but you're going to feel better after. And almost the only times you don't feel better after you exercise are the times when you're about to get sick or you are sick. And so otherwise, you really need to just put some time to it and budget it. You know, give yourself 3 hours this week and say, I'm going to get out walking, whether I feel like it or not, period, end of sentence. And don't give yourself permission to be out of it. I do that all the time where I set up and I'm not letting myself off the hook, because if I let myself off the hook, I won't do it. And then she says, avert your eyes. You know, you hear about that with people who struggle with lustful thoughts or pornography or whatever. Avert your eyes, too, with the food thing. You know, just look away and pray and worship. And you can get this thing in a healthy place. And finally, she says, use awareness, discipline, scripture, distraction, kind of all the things we've been saying. So really, hopefully those are helpful for you. And we're talking about healthy eating. God wants you healthy. And I really believe that there are just some basic things that we can choose that can help us physically feel better, help our bodies regulate. And I pray that today's show was encouraging to you. Before I pray, I want to leave you with a short passage from Ephesians 1. It says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body and is made full and complete by Christ. Listen, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Father, I pray for my friend listening today. I pray that you'd make her strong and healthy. I pray that you'd regulate her weight. I pray that you heal what ails her, Lord God. I pray that you give her a strong sense of when she's eating for the right reasons and eating for the wrong reasons. It is for freedom that you set us free. So set us free from all those things that ail us and keep us in bondage to the things that medicate us. Lord, we want to be free, we want to be healed, and we want to be whole. And so bless my friend listening today and set her free in Jesus' name. Amen. Glad you tuned in today. I hope today's show blessed and encouraged you. This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Again, the title of the book that we talked about today is The Eden Diet. You're going to learn more about Rita's Facebook page that she mentioned. It'll be up on our page in just a little bit. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to be talking to our favorite Bible scholar, Ron Rhodes. He'll take your Bible questions. No question is too big or too small. That's going to be a great show. Next on Everyday Relationships, it's Get Out of Doghouse Monday. So if you got in trouble this weekend, today's show is just for you. We want to have you call in and talk with Greg and Aaron Smalley. And so don't go away. We're going to be on back in just a moment.